بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Continuing the explanation of Surah At-Tur, we have reached verse 40. قال الله تعالى أم تسألهم أجرا فهم من مغرم مثقلون. Or is it that you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask a wage from them so that they are burdened with a load of debt? This is a negation and scolding. This is a negation or exclamation and meant for negation and scolding. So is it that when you invite them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Allah Azza wa Jal, do you tell them, give me wages, where it's a burden upon them, they are not able to give? The answer is no. Certainly no. قال الله تعالى in Surah Sad 38:86, قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, no wage do I ask of you for this, the Quran, nor am I one of the mutakallifin, meaning those who pretend and fabricate things which do not exist. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't tell anyone, give me wages in return for my call, inviting you. Rather, he spent the wealth to incline the hearts. He gave those people to incline them to Islam. He gave them some of the wealth, and he did not request any compensation for that which he brought from the message. No. Some of the scholars, may Allah's mercy be upon them, deducted from this that it is not permissible for the person to take wages for teaching the knowledge. Like, for example, telling someone, I will not teach you except that you pay me such and such. However, it is considered to be permissible, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna haqqa ma akhadhtum alayhi ajra kitabullah." You are perfectly entitled to take wages for Allah's book, as in Sahih Bukhari, volume 7, hadith number 63. And we have discussed this matter with the two opinions and the preponderating opinion, and that it is permissible. On the site, there is a special on this topic, teaching the Quran and taking wages. You find it on the site, inshallah. Then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Or that the غيب, the unseen, is with them and they write it down? The answer is no. They don't have the knowledge of the unseen. In fact, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself does not know anything of the unseen. A thing would be happening in his home and he may not know it. One day he came and he found a pot on the fire boiling with meat therein. And he didn't know what's in it. And even one time Abu Huraira was in his company. Then Abu Huraira stepped aside and he didn't know why did he leave him. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself does not know of the unseen. So by all means, those who are other than him don't know. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to declare that he has no knowledge of the unseen. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 56. قُلَّا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ. قل لا أقول لكم عندي خزائن الله ولا أعلم الغيب ولا أقول لكم إني ملك. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't tell you that with me are the treasures of Allah, nor that I know the unseen, nor I tell you that I am an angel. I but follow what is revealed to me by inspiration. And here in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells those, the liars, أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ, or that the unseen is with them and they write it down? The answer is no. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further said, أَمْ يُرِيدُونَ كَيْدًا, or do they intend a plot against you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to rebuke your call, to destroy you, to kill you? The answer is yes. Yes, they do. But their plotting is nothing when compared to the plot of Allah Azza wa Jal. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anfal 8:30, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. So they themselves are in a plot. They were plotting, and Allah too was planning, and Allah is the best of the planners. So they intended a plot. So they called for a meeting as to what they should do concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they realized that his call was spreading, and that they don't have the means and powers to ward it off. So they gathered for consultation, and they expressed three opinions: to put him in jail, and the second, to kill him, and the third, to force him out, to leave. قال الله تعالى in the same verse, Surah Al-Anfal 8:30, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ, and remember when the disbelievers plotted against you, O Muhammad, to imprison you, أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ, or to kill you, أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ, or to get you out from your home in Mecca. قال الله تعالى وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ. They were plotting, and Allah too was planning, and Allah is the best of the planners. So they settled on the opinion to kill him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But who is the one who is going to execute that? Because his people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's people of Banu Hashim, the descendants of Hashim, they will request justice. So they said, 10 young people from the different tribes of the Arabs shall gather, and each one of them will be given a strong and sharp sword, and then they will all give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one single strike. In this way, his blood will be dissipated and spread amongst the tribes, and therefore Banu Hashim wouldn't be able to check them out. and request justice for his blood. So they agreed on that. But as Allah said, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and Allah is the best of planners. So Allah saved the Prophet ﷺ from them. Then he gave him the permit to immigrate. And so he immigrated to Medina sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this verse, of Surah At-Tur, verse 42, أَمْ يُرِيدُونَ كَيْدًا فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هُمُ الْمَكِيدُونَ, or do they intend a plot against you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but those who disbelieve are themselves in a plot. You see, watch this. Just look at the verse. Or do they intend a plot against you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why did Allah say then, but those who disbelieve are themselves in a plot? Allah could have said, or do they intend a plot, and they themselves in a plot? Why did Allah put this, those who disbelieve? There are benefits in this. That they are kafirs, this is first. Second, then whoever is a kafir, then he is in a plot. Even though he may not be one of those same kafirs who plotted against the Prophet ﷺ. These are two benefits from this. Also, there is a third one, alerting the addressed. Because if the wording is on the same style, a person may become inattentive. So if something comes to alert the person out of the sudden, during the course of reading, then this is a benefit, drawing his attention. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, أَمْ لَهُمْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ, or have they an ilah, God, other than Allah? In reality, no. In reality, no. No. In claim, yes. Meaning in claim, they claim to have gods whom they worshipped other than Allah, like Al-Lat, the Uzza, and Manat, and Hubal, these names of their gods, the idols known to the Arabs. And that's why Allah stated right away, Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Subhanallah, it means declaring Allah is above all imperfection concerning that which they ascribe as partners to Him. In order what? In order to make clear that these gods are futile and Allah is glorified above having partners. Then in the next verse, وَإِن يَرَوْا كِسْفًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ سَاقِطًا يَقُولُ سَحَابٌ مَرْكُومٌ, and if they were to see a piece of the heaven falling down, they would say, clouds gathered in heaps. They would say, clouds gathered in heaps. And this term, kisaf, it refers to pieces of or parts of the torment on them befalling them. They would say, these are clouds gathered in heaps. So this tells us what? This tells us that they consider themselves to be on the truth, that they don't deserve to be punished, and that this punishment falling them, they consider it as, these are clouds gathered in heaps, This is the same saying as the people of Ad, when they saw the wind and the clouds coming, they said, هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْتِرُنَا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْتِرُنَا. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse 24. Then, when they saw it as a dense cloud coming towards their valleys, they said, this is a cloud bringing us rain. Nay, it was torment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the next verse, فَذَرْهُمْ فِي خَوْضِهِمْ يَلْعَبُونَ حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يُسْعَقُونَ. So leave them alone till they meet their day, in which they will sink into a fainting with horror. This is their day of death. I mean, leave those, because they are going inevitably to die, even though they try to flee. When they meet their day, they will know that they were on falsehood, and that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was on the truth. In the next verse, يَوْمَ لَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. The day when their plotting shall not avail them at all, nor will they be helped, meaning they will receive their torment in hell. So when their death comes, then there will be no benefit for their plotting. It will be in a vain. Why? Because they are now in the they return to Allah to receive their just punishment, and they have no pleas. The only thing facing them now is torment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا عَذَابًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And verily for those who do wrong, there is another punishment. Another punishment. Meaning, other than, this is before that of death. This signifies what occurs to them from the torments of drought and so forth, and fear and wars and so forth, which occurred before their death. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most of them know not. Rather, most of them are heedless about this, and they don't think that this is punishment in any way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. So wait patiently, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the decision of your Lord, for verily you are under our eyes. And glorify the praises of your Lord when you get up from sleep. Now, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. اصْبِرْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Be patient, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Patience, الصبر, meaning refraining oneself from that which it should not do. لحكم ربك, to the decision, the ruling of your Lord. And this covers both الحكم الكوني والحكم الشرعي. This covers the universal decision or decree, or as well as the legal decree. Meaning, be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the decision of your Lord regarding the obligation to convey the message, irrespective of what may occur to you. وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ الْقَدَرِيَّ الْكَوْنِي. As well, be patient concerning your Lord's universal decree, concerning that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees upon you from those foolish, mockery and transgression and harm. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was harmed as his brethren from the messengers. He received the great harm. The kuffar, the disbelievers, they put filth on him, alayhi salatu wassalam, as in the hadith reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Sahih Bukhari, and volume 1, book 4, number 241, hadith. Once the Prophet ﷺ was offering prayers at the Kaaba, Abu Jahl, one of the leaders of the disbelievers, was sitting with some of his companions. One of them said to the others, "Who amongst you will bring the abdominal contents, the intestines and the filth therein, of a camel of Bani so and so, meaning from the tribe of such and such, and put it on the back of Muhammad ﷺ when he prostrates?" The most unfortunate of them got up and brought it. He waited till the Prophet ﷺ prostrated and then placed it on his back between his shoulders. "I was watching but could not do anything." I mean, Abdullah bin Mas'ud is saying, "I was watching but could not do anything. I wish I had some people with me to hold out against them." They started laughing and falling on one another. They started laughing and falling on one another. And Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was in prostration, and he did not lift his head up till Fatima, the Prophet's daughter, may Allah be pleased with her, came and threw that camel abdominal contents away from his back. He raised his head and said thrice, "O Allah, punish Quraysh." So it was hard for Abu Jahl and his companions when the Prophet ﷺ invoked Allah against them, as they had a conviction that the prayers and invocations were accepted in the city of Mecca. And Allah answered the Prophet's message or invocation. He said, the Prophet ﷺ, "O Allah, punish Abu Jahl, Utbah bin Rabi'a, Shaybah bin Rabi'a, Al-Walid ibn Utbah, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, and Uqba al-Mu'ayt." And he mentioned the seventh, whose name I could not recall, meaning Abdullah bin Mas'ud is telling us this. "By Allah, in whose hands my life is, I saw the dead bodies of those persons who were counted by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Qalib, one of the wells of Badr." Also, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Mecca to the city of At-Ta'if in order to gain support for his call in the city of Ta'if, also he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received harm from them, as in the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, book 54, number 454, the Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, said that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Have you encountered a day harder than the day of the battle of Uhud? Have you encountered a day harder than the day of the battle of Uhud?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Your tribes have troubled me a lot, and the worst trouble was the trouble on the day of Aqaba, when I presented myself to Ibn Abd Yalail Ibn Abd Abdul Khullal, and he did not respond to my demand. So I departed overwhelmed with excessive sorrow." And also they stoned him and his heels bleed, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the same incident, and proceeded on and could not relax till I found myself at Qarn al-Tha'alib, where I lifted my head towards the sky to see a cloud shading me unexpectedly. I looked up and I saw Gabriel alayhi salam in it. He called me saying, "Allah has heard your people saying to you and what they have replied back to you. Allah has sent the angel of the mountains to you so that you may order him to do whatever you wish to these people." And the angel of the mountains called and greeted me and then said, "O Muhammad, order what you wish. If you like, I will let Al-Akhshabain, the two mountains, fall on them. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, but I hope that Allah will let them get children who will worship Allah alone and will worship none besides Him. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad. And also, they used to throw all sorts of filth in front of his door, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would say, Ayyu jiwarin hada, what kind of neighborhood is this? And this is in accordance with what Allah commanded him, as mentioned in these verses, wasbir li hukmi rabbik, and be patient concerning the command of your Lord and the decision of your Lord. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا, you are under our eyes. We watch you, and we see you, and we care for you. أَنْتَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا, this is like someone saying someone whom he cares for, أَنْتَ فِي عَيْنِي, you are under my eyes. And it is this is known, the obviously understood meaning, when you say to someone, أَنْتَ فِي عَيْنِي, when you care for, it doesn't mean that he is he becomes in your eyes, he enters your eyes or the like. The meaning is that you are under my observation, under my care, under my protection. This is the obviously understood meaning. And in this ayah still we confirm our eyes, meaning the eye to the Prophet, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is real, but it is not like that of the human or the creation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ash-Shura 42:11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, there is nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearer, all-seer. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ, and glorify the praises of your Lord when you get up from sleep, and also when you get up from any place. If you leave your majlis, if your sitting place, or if you get up from your sleep, this is general in fact. That's why when you depart from the place, or you get up from sleep, you say Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanallah means I declare Allah free of all imperfection. Wa bihamdi, and all the praise is due to Him, and I praise Him. That's why the expiation for the majalis, for the sitting places, when the person leaves, is to say Subhanak Allahumma ربنا وبحمدك سبحانك اللهم ربنا our Lord وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except you, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك, I ask for forgiveness and I repent to you. So whenever a person leaves a majlis, a sitting place, then his last words should be this dua, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, how perfect you are, O Allah, and I praise you, and I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but you. I seek your forgiveness and turn in repentance to you. Wa min al-layli fasabbihhu, and in the night time also glorify His praises. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ, from and in the night time. It doesn't mean all the night. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ heard some people from his companions, one of them saying to the other, أَنَا أَقُمْ وَلَا أَنَامْ, I stay the night up and I don't sleep. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَمَّا أَنَا فَأَقُمْ وَأَنَامْ, as to me, I stand up the night and I go to sleep. وَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, anyone who turns from my sunnah is not from me. And that's why it is disliked for the person to stand the night, all the night, even though he may have full strength. But he should not stand the night in worship to Allah, except in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. That's where the Prophet ﷺ used to make these nights in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then in the next verse, وَإِدْبَارَ النُّجُومِ, also with the finest praises at the setting of the stars. And what is intended here? Does it mean it's the setting of the stars themselves, or the setting of its light upon the spread of the light of the sun? The answer is this and that. And this refers, and both, this refers to Salat al-Fajr, the Salah of Fajr, the daybreak, the dawn, because this is when the setting of the stars or their lights occurs. And also Salat al-Asr, they are the best of the prayers. They are best, the best of the five prayers, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. Sahih Bukhari, Volume 1, Book 10, Hadith 529. إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى صَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَصَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَفْعَلُوا. Certainly, you will see your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you see this moon Laylat al-Badr, the night when it is full moon. فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ لَا تُغْلَبُوا, and you will have no trouble in seeing him. So if you can avoid missing through sleep or business, etc., a prayer before the sunrise, meaning the Fajr prayer, and a prayer before sunset, which is the Asr, you must do. Then he recited from Surah 50:39. And concerning, and concerning these two prayers, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man salla al-bardain dakhala al-jannah." Whoever prays these two prayers of the cool parts of the day, he will be admitted to paradise. Yeah. And these two are Salat al-Fajr, and Salat al-Asr. So Salat al-Fajr is the cool period of the night, and Salat al-Asr is the cool period of the day. Then at the end, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحُوا أَدْبَارَ النُّجُومِ. So this verse, therefore, and also glorify his praises at the setting of the stars. This brings the end of the tafsir of Surah At-Tur. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us in that which he taught us, and to guide us to his straight path, and that we ask him to protect us from having our hearts deviating after he guided us, and that he bestows upon us rahmah, mercy. He is the Wahhab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And may Allah the Most High forgive our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Thaymeen, make him from the residents of Al-Firdaws al-A'la for what he offered this ummah from the ilm and the actions. وَنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.